On Venice Beach in L.A., there's this brick wall by the water where taggers write all kinds of messages for people walking by to see. The other day, I happened upon Andrew Patilano in the midst of spray painting a message unlike all the others. It was about MDMA, also known as Molly or Ecstasy. It says, MDMA cures PTSD.
I feel passionate about it in particular because I think that a lot of these compounds could have been studied a lot more, and it's a crime that they are Schedule 1 compared to more dangerous compounds like alcohol.
Patilano, in addition to being an artist, is also a chemistry professor. He's always thinking about compounds. So he says he was excited to read the latest study published in Nature magazine on the first major trial on the effectiveness of using MDMA to help treat post-traumatic stress disorder. Researchers say the initial findings are promising, but the study of MDMA has always come up against cultural stigmas. As a party drug back in the 2000s, ER doctors saw a dramatic increase in ER visits. But under medical supervision, the authors of this study say MDMA could prove beneficial. Joining us now is Jennifer Mitchell, a neuroscientist at the University of California, San Francisco, and a lead author on this study. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with what this study's treatment looks like. It's important to note that it isn't just MDMA on its own. It's paired with a therapist providing intensive counseling. Can you walk us through a patient's experience?
Sure. So in short, the subject, the participant, undergoes a series of preparatory sessions prior to ever being administered the MDMA. And then for a full day, they take the MDMA in a treatment room that looks a lot like a nice living room. And then they return the following day for an integration session. And about a month later, they repeat that process. And then about a month later, they repeat it again. And it's a particularly inner guided therapy process. So it is manualized, and you're not prompting the participant a lot with questions. You're not asking them to explore certain aspects of their past or their trauma. You're letting the medicine and the participant lead the way.
How efficacious was this study? What did you find?
We found that individuals that received MDMA in addition to therapy experienced significantly greater reduction in PTSD symptoms and also in their symptoms of depression. So they were not actually need to necessarily be depressed to enroll in this study. But as a secondary measure, we found that the MDMA successfully treated their depression as well.
Well, PTSD has a range of traumas. There's combat traumas we talked often about with veterans' experiences, but also racial trauma and childhood trauma. How were patients selected for the study?
They self-referred to the study, and we took all types of trauma, all different walks of life. One of the things that we were sort of most intrigued by and perhaps most impressed by was the finding that MDMA was equally effective in some of those subgroups, which are typically considered treatment resistant because their trauma is so extreme.
Well, let's talk more about that. Your study marks a turning point in getting approval from the Food and Drug Administration for this kind of treatment. There have been other studies of psychedelics trying to treat depression with magic mushrooms, as they're commonly known. What is it about MDMA that primes the brain for therapy?
Well, we do still need to do a lot more investigative work in human models. In animals, it's pretty clear that MDMA has an impact on a brain region called the amygdala, where fear memories are typically stored and retrieved. And so we are assuming that there is a similar process going on in humans, and that the MDMA allows them access to memories that are very traumatic in nature and very hard to address or focus on, perhaps without a lot of shame and a lot of fear, and that somehow the MDMA is enabling people to take a look at those memories in a way that isn't uncomfortable to them, and that allows them to work with the therapy team to process and release them.
You know, part of all of this is overcoming the stigma and criminalization of psychedelics. You know, often MDMA, often known as Molly and Ecstasy, is thought of as a party drug in a lot of people's minds. Although many places like Oregon and D.C. has sought to decriminalize them, and it has gone so far to do so, where do you think your work fits into changing the cultural perception of these drugs?
Well, my hope is that this work represents a first step towards people perhaps being willing to consider taking another look at these compounds and perhaps a more objective look than what happened back in the 60s and 70s in the United States, at least. And that maybe it also opens the door to additional studies of other, you know, psychedelic therapeutics.
Did you find any downsides during this study? Any possibly groups of people who should not consider this kind of treatment?
One of the issues with this study is that individuals had to taper off all of their other psychiatric medications to participate so that we could see what the MDMA was actually doing. And I think that was destabilizing for a lot of people that then couldn't, that because there's a placebo arm in the study, that then didn't mm-hmm. get the MDMA. And so thankfully the study sponsor is addressing that and we're crossing those individuals over and they will have an opportunity to receive the active drug now.
The chemist that I spoke with at Venice Beach went on to tell me how his father died of alcoholism and he wonders if his father had guided treatment like MDMA therapy, if his father would actually still be alive. I'm sure you've heard these kinds of stories before.
Absolutely, and they're heartbreaking. And that's one of the reasons why we're so determined to come up with novel therapeutics for PTSD. There's so many people that are suffering. I think we could do better.
That was Jennifer Mitchell, neuroscientist at the University of California, San Francisco, and lead author on the first phase 3 study on using MDMA to assist therapy in treating PTSD. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Kanu Kaplash is one of the patients who participated in the 2018 study while an undergrad at the University of Connecticut. He received the drug instead of the placebo. And Kaplash is going to take us through what this therapy looks, sounds, and feels like. And we want to take note that Kaplash will be describing his experiences as part of this study. This is not an endorsement of the drug. Kaplash tells us he signed up for the study as a last resort after trying and failing under traditional forms of therapy.
When the topic is, you know, stuff like sexual assault or, you know, deadly, you know, car crashes or getting bullied or, you know, dealing with racism, right? All these different traumatic experiences, you know, it can be really tough to just even talk about the subject.
Kaplash described suffering for years from chronic nightmares, insomnia, even hallucinations.
It's almost like your mind is like sending you little notifications through these like nightmares and flashbacks to address something kind of deep in yourself.
Before taking MDMA, Kaplash had to undergo several sessions of preparation therapy. And after his first dose, he says he was blindfolded and given headphones to help him block out his surroundings and fall into a meditative state.
While you're meditating, you get these like amazing visions that can really help you process the trauma because...
What do you mean by visions?
Ooh, yeah. So I guess like the way I would describe it is it's like you're living in an entirely new reality. It's like a dream, but you're like a lot more aware. Like you're like conscious, you like fully remember it and you're like experiencing it as if you're like really living it, you know? Like it's almost hard to like tell between like, you know, reality and the actual vision to an extent.
This is actually pretty common. People who have taken MDMA often talk about being able to see themselves more clearly, with the ability to unpack their traumas without re-terrorizing themselves. Kaplash says he actually saw himself floating in space in front of a giant keyboard.
And it was so cool just because like each key was like a different part of my life. And I could see like different, you know, different memories in each one. So like one of the things that I'd always believed before I'd gotten into the treatment for a long time was that I was going to die like very, very early. Like, because, you know, when you have PTSD, right, when a lot of your life is, you know, kind of filled with traumas to an extent, it makes it hard for one to believe that you're actually going to live like a long, happy life. And so one of like the most immediate thing that kind of shook me was that when I could see myself live past 40, when I could run down these piano keys and see myself live to like 60, 80, you know, doing all these things, living like a normal life to an extent, like that just shattered that belief entirely.
He was guided by his therapist to start exploring some of those traumatic memories.
So I immediately went to like the piano key where there was like those traumas. And I kind of like this is going to sound weird, but like I dove into the piano key and then suddenly I was like transported to a new world. And like on this world, I was able to do a couple things. The first thing that I was able to do was first actually remember all the traumas. A big issue with PTSD is that often you can't even remember the entirety of the trauma because like parts of it are blacked out in your memory.
I can imagine this is why it's important to have a medical professional with you, because this is some heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Because when you're living the same traumas over and over for like 1,000 lifetimes, it's a lot.
Kaplash finished his 3 sessions in 2018 and now organizes mental health programs at his university.
You know, I'm kind of trying to figure out more who this new kind of person is, because when you go through such kind of like life-changing therapy in such a short amount of time, you're kind of functionally a different person than who you were. And so kind of figuring out who you are in this new world has kind of been what I've been doing. And it seems to an extent that person is, you know, a very aggressive activist.
Kaplash is also now in regular talk therapy. This latest study of 90 participants produced no serious side effects, but before it can be approved for therapeutic use, the Food and Drug Administration needs a second positive phase 3 trial. That trial, which has about 100 participants, is currently underway and should be up for approval in 2023.